Ventnor City Planning Board Meeting, April 9th, 2025.
So why don't we just...
As long as I can sit there.
I'd like to welcome everyone this evening. This is the April 9th, 2025 meeting of the Ventnor City Planning Board. It is now in session. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. A notice of this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in this building. At this time, would you kindly rise and salute the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will our board administrator please call the roll?
Mayor Kribel.
Here.
Commissioner Langgraf.
Here.
Joe Iazanelli.
Here.
Jay Cook.
Here.
Roman Zabby Hutch.
Here.
Lorraine Salata.
Here.
Dan Smith III.
Here.
Mike Wiesen.
Here.
Peter Tucker.
Here.
Tim Coop.
Here.
Greer Gaskell.
Here.
Wendy Bartlett.
Here.
Jessica Stilley.
Here.
At this time, we have adoption of minutes from the last meeting. Has everyone had a chance to go over, and are there any amendments or changes to such? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for approval of said minutes?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I wasn't here.
And that's a recusal on, that's two recusals. So we're set. There's no opposition, so therefore, the minutes are hereby adopted. I'd like to thank everyone for coming this evening. And the board members, we have another exciting meeting going this week too. And we're making great progress. So let's go right into it. This evening, we have new business, and that's a consistency with the master plan demonstration and recommendations pursuant to New Jersey State 40, I gotta put these glasses on, I'll tell you, 40A, 12A, 7E of local development and housing law pending to Ventnor Professional Campus plan for property designated as Block 123, Lot 1, having a street address of 6101 Ventnor Avenue. There's a resolution number of 13-2005 for a consistency report that has been generated that is for this plan. At this time, we'll commence with the hearing. Mr. Rotella, are you going to be spearheading this, or who is the person that is be spearheading the hearing? Pardon me? Yes, Jack, could you please come forward and introduce the board to yourself and what you plan to do, and give us a little bit about your agenda.
Sure. Good evening, everyone. May it please the board, my name is Jack Plachter. I'm an attorney with Fox Rothschild in the city of Atlantic City, and I represent the property owner, DAG. I do have in the audience Mr. Waxman, who happens to be a Ventnor Summer resident, who's the principal of the firm that owns the property. First of all, I'd like to thank the governing body for working with us. They've been extremely cooperative. We've had a lot of back and forth. Just to give you a little background, the governing body of the city of Ventnor, in recognition of the unique circumstances of this site, did make a finding and came before the planning board, if you recall, for a hearing. But on December 13th, 2023, so it's a little while ago, they officially designated the governing body, this site, as an area in need of a redevelopment. That was taken by Resolution 394 of 2023. We spent a lot of time you know, with informal meetings with the city and the redevelopment consultant, talking about what was right for the site. As you know, this is a site that's been around for quite a while. It exists with two rather large two-story brick buildings, on-site surface parking, an open landscape area, and it's commonly known as the Ventnor Professional Plaza. For those of you who have, you know, obviously you're very familiar with the community, we've all gone in that building and we know it's challenged. You know, there was a physical therapy operation in the rear building and there's some scattered office space. It just hasn't really been very successful, which is one of the reasons why I think the governing body and this board found that it was an area in need of redevelopment. Back in time, as of 1938, you know, it was a brick building and it does have some historical significance. So the idea here is to save and enhance the front building and to remove the rear building and, you know, create a development that everybody in the city, we want everybody in the city as well as the redeveloper to be proud of. It consists of an entire city block with the exception of the northeast corner where there exists the Ventnor City Fire Station. The site's 2.3 acres and it's currently in the mixed use zone. And interestingly enough, the mixed use zone does permit both commercial and residential development. However, we believe that certain of the things are a little antiquated because it was adopted some time ago and needs updating. As I said, we've spent a significant amount of time discussing it with the mayor, with Commissioner Landgraf, and so forth. Our clients are very excited about the opportunity to develop housing. And we think this housing is, you know, basically townhouses, for sale housing, and it's designed to be a very nice, well-appointed housing, but the price point is going to be below $1 million. If you look in Ventnor today, any new builds that you see, like the project on Baltimore Avenue, and although they're single-family homes, could be $2 million. There's some lovely townhouses by, I think it's Surrey Avenue, by, you know, in the North Beach area, what they call the North Beach area. They go for $1.5 million. The point here is to bring in a little bit lower market, but to also do a first-class development. We have Mr. Barnhart in the audience. He's going to present just a conceptual plan. I just want to make a statement that these plans are not the final plans by any stretch of the imagination. We just want to present a concept tonight. We recognize that in a redevelopment agreement and as a redevelopment area, it's a partnership between the city officials, the planning board, and us. And so none of these concepts are necessarily set in stone. We want to work with the town to develop something that everybody's going to be proud of. And things like the final architectural plans and the site plan, we'll have to come back. If we're fortunate enough to adopt this redevelopment plan and we become the redeveloper, we'll have to be back before this board and talk about the exact architectural design, the final densities, and so forth. So at this time, if you would allow me to, I'd like to just have call John Barnhart to make a brief presentation.
Mr. Plachter, I did a little research. This isn't an application for development. In your opinion, my information is it's not, we don't really need sworn testimony, and that same goes with the public, or I could swear everybody in too. Is it the safer bet to swear
Mr. Barnhart? Totally your option. I think it's maybe consistency finding. I mean, it's up to you, really.
We'll swear. Okay. Err on the side. Jack, can't hurt, right?
Jack, I think we follow the norm, and here we swear everybody in.
All right. Mr. Barnhart, just give us your name and that business address for the record.
Sure. John Barnhart, office address 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City.
Okay. And please raise your right hand. You swear from the testimony you'll give this evening, it'll be the truth?
I do.
Thanks. And in case Roger needs to chime in, we can obviously accept his credentials as an engineer and planner, and I'll give Mr. McLaren a score. Yes, Mr. McLaren, you swear from the testimony you'll give throughout this evening.
It is.
Okay.
Everyone shuts it off. Just push the button and on the side. Got it?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, basically, we just describe what, this is just a concept plan, correct?
Yes, that's correct. So the plan I have before you is a concept we've been working with our client and with the city. As Jack pointed out, the property in question is block 123. It's lot one. It's the majority of the city block that is bound by New Haven, Troy, Vetner, and Winchester Avenue, but for the firehouse that sits on the northeasterly corner. I'm sure everybody's very familiar with the property, but the white shaded area that you see to the front up on Vetner Avenue is the existing building structure. As you know, there's another structure at Troy Avenue School that sits up on Troy Avenue right on the corner. The proposal, as Jack identified already, is to demolish that building and to maintain and renovate commercial structure that is up on Vetner Avenue. And the second aspect of the project is to develop single-family attached residential, I'll say toward the rear, away from Vetner Avenue, that approximately cuts the property in half. The entire tract is 2.3 acres. The land that we are actually utilizing for residential is, bear with me one second. Is 1.27 acres. So we're proposing 36 units on a total tract of land that's 1.27 acres, with the balance of the block by way of subdivision would be the land that the commercial facility sits upon. We are also proposing two parking areas to be developed to support the commercial space on the Vetner Avenue property, Vetner Avenue frontage building. The way that the residential units will lay out is there's a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 buildings, clusters of buildings that have varying between 7 and 8 units per building. The units as concepted are 18 feet wide, and there will be a center corridor, a proposed public right-of-way that comes from Troy to New Haven Avenue, two-way access. We are proposing to maintain the parking on both Troy Avenue and New Haven Avenue. This is a little bit of a unique block because it has that head-on parking. It's been in existence for many years. We certainly recognize the value of on-street parking in the community, especially in this area. So we are proposing to maintain the parking on both of those streets. The building that is sitting on Winchester Avenue will have driveways off of onto and off of Winchester Avenue. The density as the project sits right now today can be looked at in a couple of different ways. And I think just to make the board clear, because if there's any concern with regard to the density, the tract as a whole, if you look at the tract as a whole and compare it to the number of units that we currently are showing here, we're showing 36 units on a 2.3 acre tract. If you do that math in the aggregate, the density is actually 15.6 units to the acre. If you break it down to,
right there for a minute,
sorry,
because if you look at the MU zone right now, how many units per acre does it?
I believe it permits 20 units to the acre.
Correct.
That's correct.
And also the reason why we, because I know there's been some issues, questions about density, but the reason why we put in 35 units per acre is because we had thought that in the future, not now, but in the future, we might want to explore residential in the front building. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. Basically, the 35 units to the acre was to give the project a comfort level and the ability of some potential advancement for residential in the building in the front. And also, depending on how you calculate density, the number can change. So what I mean by that is if you look at the entire block, we are at 15.6 units to the acre, which is well below what would be actually permitted on this property. If you break it out to just the residential, then they're just the residential portion and bifurcate off the commercial space, density actually becomes 28.6 units to the acre. If you look at it on an individual basis, the density actually goes up. So that's why we utilize the 35 units to the acre, just to be conservative, to make sure that the project that we believe fits very well and works very, very well for the site would comply with the density standards that are in the redevelopment plan. But just understand that it's 36 units on 2.3 acres. So on those 2.3 acres, our density is 15.6 units. That is what is being proposed at this point.
And these are three-bedroom units, is that correct?
They're three-bedroom units, and each of the units will have three parking spaces. There are two in a garage and one in a driveway out front. We are proposing as part of the public right-of-way through, there will be public sidewalks on both sides of that right-of-way, so there will be nice pedestrian circulation around the property. Another thing I do want to point out is we did look at some, you know, we went through varying concepts on how to lay this property out. And we, at one point, we looked at the idea of units facing Troy Avenue and New Haven Avenue. What we, the conclusion that we came to is this layout actually provides more openness, more air-like and open space than if you were to line units up on these streets. And just as a quick example, if you were to, even if you were to build fee simple, single-family detached units, and you line them up along Troy Avenue, and you, your standard setbacks in the R7 zone, which is the residential that surrounds us, have four-foot side yards. So you get 8 feet per building in total open space between the buildings. For this frontage, you would have about 80 feet of open space if you were a pedestrian standing on the other side of Troy Avenue looking at the project. By our turning the buildings the way that we do and creating these open space corridors, we actually have, in the aggregate, almost 150 feet of open space as a person would be standing on Troy looking into the site. So we felt that this layout made a lot of sense because it did not wall off the property from Troy and then also New Haven Avenue. It gave a much greater sense of openness as you were to drive by the project. And we also felt that was important and why we chose this layout is because, as I said, this is a little bit of a unique condition. It's you know, there aren't a lot of streets in Ventnor that have head-in parking along the curb for the entire length of the block. So one of the things we were thinking about is if we did face units to Troy or New Haven, you get a little bit of a conflict there. There's my front door, and then I've got public parking, head-on parking, going right up against the front of my property all the way across the frontage of the site. So we felt this worked very well, was very respectful to the surrounding development, and that the density, we believe, fits in very well with the character of this neighborhood.
Do you want to just briefly show the conceptual elevation?
Oh, sure. So as Jack pointed out, this is conceptual in nature at this point, but it is what our client is thinking about from an architectural perspective. You can see varying facade styles. Each of the units will be staggered. I didn't really point that out in the site plan, but you can see the units are not a straight wall. They are staggered and they go back and forth as you go along each one of the buildings. And even beyond the stagger, you can see the different projections and such. The top floors are set back with decks above to create some real architectural appeal and interest. What we've been talking about is that this is the idea of this is it's coastal modern. It fits in with the character of a coastal town, but it has a modernistic look to it, which is, you know, becoming a very, very popular thing. We're seeing more and more modern homes constructed. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder with something like this. Some folks might love this, some folks might not. But, you know, we believe it will be a very beautiful product. And again, just to reiterate, this is not a final design.
Okay. That's all I have. The only other thing I wanted to point out was that, you know, we think this is a great project because, you know, to get 36 more rooftops, it'll help promote, you know, the excellent job that this town's done with commercial development. You'll be able to walk to the beach, you'll be able to walk to all the restaurants that are along Ventnor Avenue. And we kind of think it's a win-win situation. We're also not seeking even though it's a redevelopment project, we're not seeking a long-term financial agreement from Ventnor. We would be seeking the standard, well, I don't know if it's standard, but the five-year abatement that you generally give to new homes, so that this would end up being an excellent rateable for the city as well. As I said, we're very thankful for the cooperation we received from Ventnor to date, and we're excited about the project, and we'd like to get an affirmative recommendation if you see fit, so that the governing body can adopt the redevelopment plan and we can get going. Thank you very much.
Jack?
Yes, Mr. Cook.
You showed the layout in the plans, and of course this is a compliance plan, not a site plan review.
No.
Now, is the, when the compliance plan is approved, are this plan basically have to be followed, or is there latitude to, with the hearings in process, to massage it? Or however it comes out.
So the answer to that is, this is, as I stated, it's only a concept plan.
Okay.
And it's just to give you an idea of what could be done. we would tell you that in the site plan process, we would expect you to make revisions, you know, and criticize, you know, give us constructive criticism, which we would take into account and, you know, hopefully be able to satisfy the planning board. So this is not a site plan hearing by any stretch of the imagination. This is just, I don't want to say cartoon, but it's kind of what our thinking is now, which could change.
It's a good idea of what can be done.
Correct, that's all it is.
And that's what, yeah, and that's it. And it's well done, thank you.
You're welcome. Jim? Good evening.
Mr. Rattell, I might as well get you sworn in too, but just give us your name and business address and I'll get you sworn in.
Jim Rattell, Rattell Associates, 717 River Drive, Linwood, New Jersey.
Okay, please raise your right hand. You swear from the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do. Thank you. Good evening. Jim Rattell, Rattell Associates, representing the city. As was already stated, this is really a consistency review to the master plan. You're going to see a lot more detail as this project moves forward, but this is a first step in a redevelopment process. What we would do is, and you have a copy of my memo to the board dated March 17th of this year, where we outline and compare what the master plan says and direction it provides to the project itself. Your master plan that was adopted in 2016 talks a lot directly to this project in many respects. It encourages redevelopment that supports economic development and revitalization of underutilized properties. You know, this is an ideal situation in the fact that you have a site where you can have residential development in your downtown area. That, as Mr. Plachter mentioned, you know, provides additional commerce to the area, which isn't always the case, especially in a fully developed community. It also talks about utilization of an underutilized property. The Troy Avenue School is an underutilized property. Quite frankly, the whole site is underutilized at this point, given the fact that it's primarily commercial. And you know, we see in all the coastal communities that there is restrictions on commercial uses, especially since COVID. There's less retail, less office space, and every town is looking for ways to reuse commercial space. So this is one of those opportunities. Your master plan also talks about a mix of residential and commercial uses to create a viable, vibrant, walkable neighborhood. As was discussed, this is a very walkable area. I mean, you're in the downtown, heart of the city. It's walkable to the beaches and boardwalk. And so it certainly fits that character. And it's a mixed-use development. It still both has commercial and residential uses. The plan talks about preserve and adaptively reuse historic structures to maintain community character. Again, you have the existing school that is continuing to be maintained and will continue to be maintained in this plan as a commercial and potential some residential development. But that building would be maintained. Enhance existing infrastructure and public amenities to support new development. And clearly, this is an area where there's existing infrastructure in place, and provide a diversity of housing opportunities that meets the needs of current and future residents. And what was suggested is, you know, the plan here is for a smaller unit than what is being built now in Ventnor, but still a significant unit that would have a better price point than some of the projects that are being built throughout the city. So it does provide a diversity of residential uses. Given that, we find that this plan is consistent with the master plan. As we said at the onset, you know, this is the first stage of the process. You've been through the redevelopment process before. There's still going to be a site plan review where a lot of the details will be worked out. Certainly, it'll come before the planning board. But again, this is really the first phase of the review. Are there any questions? Thank you.
Jim, I do have a question in here. You will actually help prepare the initial plan in here, so you're eminently familiar with this thing. You seem to have a lot of excitement about this whole thing. And does this plan actually address the needs and the going into the future of Ventnor, as far as Ventnor may go into to expand? We have other other things to, rather than be a plan that's behind the times or yesterday's plan, is this today, is this a plan of today and going forward rather than a plan of yesterday and being, stopping here?
No, no, that's a good point, Chairman. And I think it is looking forward. I mean, as I talked about just a minute ago, you know, all the coastal communities are seeing a change in their commercial base. You know, whether it's retail, whether it's restaurants and eateries, whether it's office space, you know, that that market has changed. And we're seeing more and more blanket replacement of commercial space with just residential. Here, you're not doing that. Here, you're maintaining a mixed use in a downtown area that really will provide more activity in an area that requires activity. The other things too is, you know, and it was talked about when they outlined the project, and again, this all can all change to a certain extent, but you know, they really respected the city's needs. For example, the side streets, you know, they could have come to you with a plan that had driveways along the side streets, where you have angled parking, where that's, which is an important aspect of the downtown area. That's not what they're doing. They respect the need for parking for the downtown. They have included an internal roadway, which actually takes that traffic off the main street and puts those driveways on a on an interior street. So I do, to answer your question, I do think this is looking ahead. Certainly there's refinements that can be made through the site plan process, but it's a good start for the city.
And also, just in here, we're looking at how we can better our districts so as a motivation. How can this add motivation to the existing property owners themselves to rejuvenate and better their properties also? Is that an impact that we should consider?
It is. I mean, this is only one project, but you know, one, when there's an investment in an area, it tends to bring other investment.
That's the idea.
And you've already seen that.
Yes.
In your downtown. You know, I think that trend can continue, but it takes people seeing investment. It takes people knowing that there's, you know, that they have confidence in the leadership in the city and the people that are involved, that they can move forward with a project like this. I do think that projects like this lead to other investments in the community.
In your professional opinion, do you think this has accomplished just the goals that were set out for the city and complies and maybe even exceeds it?
Yeah, I do believe that this project, this plan, complies with the master plan as was envisioned by the planning board.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Yes, sir.
This project is in the very center of Ventnor. And when I read through the plan, I didn't get the idea that this is a special area, that what's going to be coming out of it is going to be unique, something that people in Ventnor will be proud about. People traveling through Ventnor are going to say, wow, this is the center of Ventnor. This is what they have here. That's missing. My concern is this right now is a residential development. The building may not have the commercial activities. There's really not enough discussion of what kind of things can be done to that building to make it work better. What innovative options are there, not just to have offices, but I think the plan needs to have a little bit more embellishment. What was said with that 36 or 35 per acre, right now, this proposal is only limited to 1.7 acres of the site, but it was also hinted at, well, if the front doesn't work, well, we'll put in more housing. My concern is we're going to have the potential of 90 some housing units ultimately because the developer can say, hey, it's not working, that building is not working. They're going to have to come to us as a planning board and say, hey, no, it's not working, but we can put more residential. I don't think Ventnor needs more residential development in the center. I think Ventnor needs something that's going to knock people's socks off and say, I'm glad I'm in Ventnor, mm-hmm. not just having more housing units. I know you need housing units. I'm not denying that. But right. I just don't see anything in the plan that suggests something special.
We talked about that with the development. And they do have, they didn't talk too much about it. They do have thoughts on the front building. Why don't you guys, Jack, if you could, talk about what we spoke about in the front building?
Excellent point, by the way. Yeah, and we probably should have done a little bit better job. One of the concepts the developer has is, right now, that building in the front, and it's an important building, we want to preserve it. But we also want to, there's not a lot of demand for office, so one of the three things we're asking for is commercial, and one of the things in the plan that we talked about with the town, and we will show you during site plan, is we actually want to bring out activity toward Ventnor Avenue and have maybe some outdoor sitting areas, cafes, and those kinds of things, which will do exactly what you're saying. And we want to make substantial improvements. I will tell you that the residential in that area, it's kind of an afterthought, and I will, you know, while we would like to have a flexibility, it's not that big an issue for us. We don't think that, you know, and if we don't think that residential on the upper floors would work with having commercial on the in the bottom. So if that's a big concern, we can work with the town on that during the site planning process. We want to make that building outstanding and put some really nice commercial uses, maybe some cafes, coffee shops, things like that in the front, with some minor office on the second and third floors. So that's really the concept. I apologize, we should have stressed that in the beginning. I apologize for that, but that was always our intention, correct, David? Yeah. And we
just to follow up with that, yeah. When we have a discussion, we are definitely getting rid of this desk. It's three times. The discussions we had were to activate that building, preserve it.
Right.
It's the first time I heard about residential possibly going there, so that's not something I really would look to support. There's, you know, we talked about a restaurant on that first floor with an outdoor patio, dining space out there. I know there's some other businesses that have already moved into there that want to be part of it. They had a store downtown and they moved into that first floor. That's what we looked at. And the fact that you're adding those townhome units behind it can help activate that building. Because right now, no one really goes in there. I think the last time I was in there was Tim McGuire's office was in that building when he was the city solicitor. I needed a fax machine. That's how long ago it was. You needed a fax. You couldn't scan and email something. So that's certainly something, excellent point. We want that building to be reactivated,
right,
enlivened, and adaptively reused on that street front. Because they've already done some landscaping out front that improved it, because that the timber wall was falling over the sidewalk. So I think this is definitely a... Go ahead.
One of my concerns is it looks like it's really adding a lot of density to that part of the block. You get the brick building in the front. And I'm on the fence about how many units should be there. You said they're each three bedrooms?
Three bedrooms.
And there's 30-some units? That adds a lot of density. So that's a big concern. And the other part is about the to kind of reinvent the building itself. That's a big building, and this is a time when office space is kind of not so much in demand. How much square footage is that building?
About
35,000
feet.
Sure.
Okay,
and you think...
just your name, Mr. Waxman,
sure.
Right?
Yep, David Waxman, 12 South Cambridge, Ventnor.
Okay, Mr. Waxman, do you swear from the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
Yes.
Thanks.
So, great questions about the front building. So I think if you haven't been in there recently, we went in and redid all the common areas. You know, last time you were in there, it probably looked like it was from when they redid it in the 80s. So all the common areas have been redone. We only have two vacant spaces available in the building right now. We've moved in some new tenants. And as Jack pointed out, the plan is for the front spaces on Ventnor Avenue to open those up with the to the outside and use the landscaped area, which we redid the landscaping. We have some uplighting going in later this spring to really uplight the building because it is quite beautiful. New signage, the new retaining wall we installed over last summer, and you know, backfill the remaining two tenants' vacant spaces that are in the building. But if you went in there now, we've already spent considerable dollars updating the hallways with art and new lighting, and we did the bathrooms. We brought a preschool in, let's face it, a medical spa from a local resident and her mother, that they run that.
And so we wholeheartedly agree that that building needs to be the centerpiece of Ventnor. And I think when we get finished with the balance of the improvements on the outside, it will do that with the lighting and the signage and the landscaping.
How many units did you say are occupied in there now?
All but two spaces are occupied. So we've done a nice job. We moved a few tenants that were left in Troy, moved in to there. And like I said, we've signed some new tenants. So we feel good that there's enough demand to fill that building with commercial uses. We would love to find a restaurant or two to take the front spaces and allow us to move the tenants in there elsewhere in the building to realize our dream of having outdoor seating, et cetera. You know, it's hard to find restaurant users that, you know, can make their money 5 months of the year. And
well, we have outdoor seating. I mean,
that'd be great.
Pretty contingent.
Yeah. True. But you'd also have indoor. Yep. You'd also have indoor seating as well in the spaces, but the outdoor would be really attractive.
You repeated that the first time you came before the board about these wonderful outdoor patios, and they are wonderful. But that's such a limited time frame that there has to be some more exciting things going on in that building. And I would like to see what kind of ideas and what you have to generate activity in there that is not residential.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, we have a broker that's, you know, engaged for us, a local person trying to bring in people. I mean, you know, it's in a perfect world, you know, it would be great to have art galleries, but, you know, art galleries can't really pay rent, so it's hard to bring in uses like that. But I think for us, it's, you know, bringing in the services that people need. I mean, again, the med spa gets a lot of people go there to get, you know, whatever med spa treatments they get. And the preschool brings in people to the preschool. There's doctor's offices, there's physical therapy, lawyers, et cetera. And, you know, we're open to finding interesting uses that can come in and pay the rent and, you know, want to be there.
Were there any discussions initially about expanding restaurant use and other options beyond just office space further into the site, right where now there's a lot of housing being proposed? Was that ever discussed? Could that still be an option?
The challenge with that is it's very hard to finance something like that with lenders. They just, that's not something that they would look at and say, yeah, we wholeheartedly believe in that. And, you know, sir, anything is possible. It's just, can you finance it and make it the numbers work? And I think the restaurant business is a really hard business, you know?
Sure.
And I think if you're not funding on the street, and it would be a hard thing to put, you know, a restaurant behind the building.
It would be great. This is speculation, just sheer speculation. It'd be great if we can get 3-4 great chefs in Philadelphia to come out and say, I'm going to create a satellite restaurant in a short community, and people love our restaurant in Philadelphia, they'll come here. That way you fill up the whole block.
Sure. I mean, that would be amazing, you know, with the way a lot of those guys
work.
It
wouldn't have to be high density, you know, it would be lower density. Just an observation.
The only other thing that I would like to add to that, because the amount of units you have in there, to me, is concerning. I understand the bottom dollar is it has to work out with what paper. But, you know, why not have a few less units, maybe have park, playground area, something. There's absolutely nothing in that part of Ventnor unless you go up to the beach where they do a playground. But that would kind of soften the whole look of all that new construction, and I think it would be an easier sell for the neighborhood.
Because the planning board had an application by an applicant where the old bank used to be, the Ocean Plus, Ocean whatever, First. And it basically was the housing that was proposed here. The board said, no, this isn't Philadelphia. This is a short community. The housing should be like the housing that would be typical. Obviously, it does look attractive, but having that many housing units in this area, it looks like mini fish town.
May I interject a second? Lance, way back, you made a statement about that the life in Ventnor is a resort nature quality of life, and it to be enjoyed by
all. I remember the night it changed.
And I remember that specifically, Lance. And I think rather than try and say to Mr. Waxman, to do this. This site has potential, special, and I think you're the man that has a vision to pull something out of this that people haven't seen. And this is, the city has to make a change to be more of a destination and to be, have fun in the city and do things. And during the early spring, the fall, the shoulder season, if you will, plus the summer, and even some things in the winter. So you're come down for your second home. You want to do something. You want to have some fun, right? You don't have to go to the casino and do it. You can have it here in town. So this is, I think, the linchpin. The city has bettered itself so much that we're now at that point. And you're the linchpin to push it. So I just think I'm enthused with what the opportunities are. But I don't want to limit you.
Yeah.
And I don't want to overregulate you either.
Yeah, and I think the front building is where all that can happen. I mean,
right.
You know, but if we can do commercial on that first floor as part of what this application is, it really opens up a lot of possibilities to not only do office.
Right.
As it exists today, we can only put office in there. And, you know, we're very sensitive and understanding that we want to put things in there that are more than office on the first floor.
Exactly.
So
I just bring this up with enthusiasm for you.
Thank you.
And to share the board's enthusiasm, but our questions and so on. But this is, we know it's complied. We met what we're trying to do tonight. But
yep.
Now, we're just trying to get it a little bit better.
Absolutely.
And you have the opportunity to set the path yep. forward and be that legendary guy that just took the first step.
Yep.
But we have commissioners here that did this city and did its charm and brought it to this point. So I want to reward them too with a more thought process and everything, and bring this city up another notch.
Sounds good.
So I think, and that's it. And the other thing is too, is with housing, there's been comments in the city that if housing blends more, we're the existing city, not we have various types of housing. So we start incorporating some of the architecture of the existing city. So it looks like things belong.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are certain things we accent. You could have a Polynesian restaurant inside that place, and with no time at all, with fountains and everything, recreate Waikiki Beach if you wanted to. But that's how far you can go. Now, whether it would fly, it's another story. But I'm just saying is consider that there's a look in the community,
mm-hmm.
and there's a blend, and there's a reception, and get the feel of the vibe and how you can just kind of evolve out of it and be special. That's what I'd like to see in this project.
Great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for tolerating my ideas.
I just wanted to address what Roland said. He says he was looking for something different, exceptional. So let's just say this whole plan got approved. Why not make it the greenest built property on this island? So green that the government would look at it as a special project, and so would the city, and it would set off building throughout the area, I think. I mean, a level of green that is nobody else has. Maybe more than $1 million, though. Right.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's like we're all making these things up.
Mike, grab one of the microphones. Roman's having a hard time hearing you. Talk into the microphone.
Thanks. I know $1 million isn't a lot of money anymore for a house.
Which is crazy, but yes.
Yeah, which is insane.
Insane.
My mother sent me a picture of a shack from a place in California, $1 million, you know, and it was this big. But I just think this is an opportunity. If this many units go in, if it could be somewhat green to show everybody how green it could be, without making a $2 million, you know, that maybe address some of the uniqueness of the project.
Do you really need 36 units to make the numbers work?
I mean, listen, it's really expensive to build, it's really expensive to do site work, and we bought the site, you know, for a real number, so, you know, I think it's, we think it's a reasonable amount of units, it's well parked as well, you know, so I know there's always a concern about parking. We have the three parking spaces, none of the parking's getting lost on the side street, on New Haven or Troy. And while 36 may sound like a lot, I think in the scheme of things, it really does fit in the site, and will add good life to the commercial corridor and to the front building and to the businesses on the other parts of Ventnor Avenue there.
I mean, to Lorraine's point, it would be really nice to have a park right in the middle, like coming off the back of the building, some greenery, some space, playground.
Yeah, just to address playgrounds, we have playgrounds in the city. Putting in playgrounds in residential developments is really not what.
Well, it doesn't have to be a playground, but I can just have a vision.
Playgrounds are dimensions of place. But I mean, from a city standpoint, if we end up maintaining it, and we don't want to do that. Whether on private or public property, they can turn it over to us. We don't need that liability.
There's a good amount of green space within the site plan, and obviously, when we come back for a final site plan, you know, the green space can be talked about and how it's landscaped. But, you know, as you can see on the plan, and as John pointed out, there's a fair amount of green space, particularly in this layout, with the homes facing inward rather than the alternative where they would have fronted on the three streets.
So I want to just make a comment about that and the green space and the open space and I'll try to be brief, but the curb appeal of this building, I think you have to visualize it, and I'll challenge both of these ideas, the for and the against, but when you walk down Ventnor Avenue, this building is set back more than every other building on that block. It's got a built-in air and open space. And in that air and open space, you've got this unique piece of architecture. So to speak to your idea about having something that is a draw, that is a landmark, you've got this three-arched building of a 1920s stone building that has this unique architecture that's surrounded by grass and trees. That area in the very front of it, if it was one of the things that the downtowns are missing, is well lit at night. If that area becomes a more as much of a promenade and a trellis covered area where there's a patio that people may just sit to use Wi-Fi, but they also may sit and use the restaurants as well. Maybe there's a mix of that. But the green space that I think that we're craving, I think you have to take a hard look at it because at the plan, because, you know, then again, on the back side of this building, a third of that space is opened up to parking that is not going to be a dense visual overhang. If there was maybe more trees or peninsulas in that space that added more green space and islands into that space, I think that would improve it. And then, I'm not arguing one way or the other, but the way the buildings are now turned so that there's 20 feet in between those buildings, they're not facing each other now or facing the outside street, there's another respite. That I think in a, it, as a, if you think about this in three dimensions, you're going to be, and if it's well, if we hold the landscaping that we do for all residential buildings, that they are well landscaped around, and I think another thing that's hard to pick up from these drawings is that the facades are staggered, so I think that they could improve the way that they refer to our architecture. I think it's a little bit of a miss in the conceptual plans when it comes to our coastal modern. I think it's a little bit too modern and less coastal. I think you need to dial that.
That had to be hard for you to say.
It's really,
you like the modern stuff.
I do. As a designer, I favor the German kind of aesthetic, but thank you, Lance. I think it needs to have the cues that we take from some of the more coastal, less modern, more of those references that you'll see that have the porches, less of that partition wall between the balconies, and more of a balcony, so sort of like individual units within. I think you could probably do this by just saving one, reducing each 7 townhouse unit into 6 townhouse units, and maybe you are at $1 million apiece. And to counter the argument that do you need that many units, to make those buildings successful and to make our downtown successful, maybe you do. Maybe our town does need that. It needs maybe not the 36, but maybe the 30. Maybe one unit per those townhouses, they get bigger because they are kind of narrow. But I really think with uplighting, like you had said you already had in mind, with actual street lights, and then with actual shared space, open space in the front, and an open space and landscaping. And the last thing I'll leave you with is that you've got this unique architecture, you've got the sustainability that the Reason talked about. Maybe take some cues from that and embrace the idea that this is an old brick school building, and take some cues from that. And so when I went and I shopped for this, I'm now buying into that aesthetic, that there's a little bit of brick on the outside of my facade. I'm buying into the schoolhouse of the aesthetic, of the semantics that are built into that building already. So
this discussion shows to me that we really, as a board, want to talk about when you have the concept plan. I'm not the concept plan, but when you start doing the site plan. I do wish that we're not cornered because of these templates. I would feel more comfortable in this plan. We remove that template, we remove the photograph of the housing, and we modify the units per acre and be more clear that we're not going to be going out to the front. I'd be more comfortable in voting for a plan that way.
Yeah, I think my biggest concern is the density that you're proposing. I think shrinking that down. I think, did you say that it was 18 feet wide per unit? I think is pretty narrow to have kind of a good functional space. I would like to see a little less coverage. I think you have those ones kind of backing right up to basically a parking lot, and they're right on top of it. I think part of Ventnor, we kind of pride ourselves in kind of having an outdoor living space. Everybody's really big on sort of their front porches, and when I look at that, I just don't really see much outdoor living spaces. I mean, even if you could take those end units and have porches across the front of it, and something to make the end units have, I guess, the side of them, well, I guess it's now in the frontage of it, have a little more architectural feature. Also something that's definitely probably less modern, definitely a little more coastal, pulling in maybe some of that brick to match the buildings around it. Something maybe with a little bit more of a roof pitch. I think that roof is pretty flat, so something to give it more of kind of a classic coastal look, and I think less modern would fit better with those existing structures around it, and really tie it all in together.
Yeah, I think those are great ideas. I mean, if you look at the whole thing as a site, you not only have this large school building in front, you have the firehouse, which also has that older look, and instead of thinking of it as a subdivided thing with something completely different in the back, have it, the schoolhouse muse or something, that you know, the architecture of the new housing relates to the where it is. I'll add to, I still think it's too dense, and if you could reduce the number and all that, but I mean, so you've got that message. But I also want to at least acknowledge, I think the internal street's a great idea. Pulls people off, and you have parking there. I mean, I know they all have 3 parking spots. No one ever does all the stacking of the parking inside, so those cars are going to be somewhere. So keeping the angle head-on parking is smart. So there's a lot of smart things that are in here. I would like the whole thing to kind of think of it as the unit that it is, the big tubes, and those housing can relate to it, to each other, and in architecture, especially if there's fewer of them, I think that might give a little bit more breathing space. I think Mike's point about green, this should be a model development. And, also in our master plan is open space, environmental concerns, green. So, to the extent that those can be put in there, And I don't think it's going to be $1 million because we just designed something that's a little bit higher than that, but would be really, yes, look.
Mr. Waxman, with all these suggestions, how much did the price go up? Mr. Waxman?
Save the brick from the back building to use in the front.
There you go. You heard from the board, and obviously there's enthusiasm in here. And obviously, the reality is we can't overregulate out of business too. I mean, there's got to be, you know, there's something that works here. And you know, I just had one other thought is, firehouses always have an attraction to people. And though it's not on your property, the firehouse theme can be carried into the site too. And that is something to be considered also in here. The people love the big red truck.
Yeah.
I got to tell you.
My kids do.
They put the white stuff on the red stuff.
Yeah.
And they love it. So it has a lot of ring too. So it's that's another thing in this site. But the wide streets around it, the whole thing, and the lighting, you have a gem. And thank you for listening to us tonight.
No, thank you for this, and thank you. You know, we've been collaborative in the whole process. We're open to collaborating. We appreciate the feedback. We also appreciate you understand it is a give and take, and you know, in a perfect world, we do every single thing you're saying. But you know, we do run a business, and so we have to, you know, balance the two things. But we appreciate it, and we will absolutely, you know, be back in front of you with a real site plan to go through. So thank you for having us and listening, and for all the great feedback. Thank you.
And Commissioner, I got to say, man, you guys are cool tonight.
You have really good comments tonight.
Really great stuff.
Detailed stuff. I do want to introduce Mike Floyd. He'll be our attorney for the redevelopment plan on the city side. Michael, please introduce yourself to the board.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. For the record, my name is Michael Floyd. I'm an attorney with Archer and Griner, member of the firm's Land Use and Redevelopment Department. So looking forward to working with the city and the government and the planning board on this process with the redeveloper.
So we asked you to come tonight to represent our, it'll be helping us through the process.
Fantastic.
The plan.
Love it. This is done extremely professional, Lance.
Well, I'm impressed with our board members' comments tonight. I mean, I hope Doug or David, you guys take that. You know, it's criticism, but you ask for constructive stuff. So we want this project to succeed. We want it to be, like Roman said, this needs to be a centerpiece, and I think it can be. Some of the comments moving forward, the property's been, as I said, in not great condition since I bought my house in 2000, 98, 99, 2000. That's when I was trying to find that fax machine. So it's just been such a, and that's not an eyesore because it's a great building, but it's had that chain link fence around the parking lot for at least the last 10 years that I can remember. Just to see someone to have interest. And Mr. Waxman and his team does this in Philadelphia. They take old buildings and bring them back to life with mixed use commercial and residential projects. So I'm excited about it. I know the fire department's going to be happy having a neighbor. they are loud neighbors, but they cook good. So we're excited about it. So
The other thing too is we're already 2 years into this process, so this isn't something that's just being hatched. This is getting due process for the community, and it's a lot of time and a lot of effort. So it's not something that's being rushed. It's really being vetted very well, and in fact, it's probably being vetted better than most projects are. So Mr. Waxman, you've been very patient with us and very patient as a developer. And I have to commend you because you're painting by the numbers and you're being very cautious and you're being very, very caring for the city as well. So thank you. And Mr. Rotella, you always do a good job. Mr. Plaxer, thank you for your comments.
Jay? I think there's a couple more people making
comment. Yes. So we're going to conclude that here, and then we're going to go to the public at this point and have anybody from the public wishes to speak. At this time, may we have someone, anyone in the public? Yeah. You can come forward. Please state your name and address, please, and you'll be sworn. And we'd like to have your comments.
I'm Susan Cord. I live at 19 North New Haven Avenue.
Just please raise your hand. You swear affirm the testimony you'll give will be the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I've lived there for about 35 years, so I've seen the neighborhood come and go. The property that we're speaking about was phenomenally green for many years, who these people bought it from. They did the best landscaping. They kept it clean and gorgeous. It wasn't until the very end, then things started going down, and they sold it. So the first thing I want to address is on this particular sketch, and I know you said it's not final.
Concept.
But Winchester Street, there's about 6 to 8 parking places there, and they're taken off there. So that was sort of left out. We're leaving all your parking places on the other streets, but they took those out. The other thing is, to have that throughway and cars going in and out, that's why that chain link fence is up there, I believe, on the one side on New Haven Avenue, because cars pulling out there, we have our fire department, and they're great guys, they're wonderful. But when they have to get out, they need to get out, as we all know, and we want them to get out, because if it's your house or an ambulance that comes around the corner, they're coming out pretty quick there. And like I said, 35 years, when they come out and head down to Ventnor Avenue, people pulling in there, most of the time, they're coming in the wrong lane because it's congested there. I'm sure you've seen that. It's very congested there. So to have more people, more cars, one of my suggestions is I would not be letting a road emptying out on New Haven Avenue. I think that's very dangerous.
One way or the other way.
I think it should get out on the other, if you're gonna do a road like that. I think it's way too many units for that area. It's not just because I live there. I just really feel that you're pushing the envelope, Ventnor. I mean, how much money do you really need? Let's make it look pretty. Let's keep it looking. And I think condominiums, that's not what we wanna see in the middle of Ventnor. I don't. Personally, I don't want to see that. I understand you want to revitalize it and make it nice, but I'm not being sold on that. The other thing is, you have put new tenants in there. It's wonderful, I guess. But one of the tenants is a dance group, you know, a dance school, which is great. It sounds like a great idea, right? But the parents, we've watched it since they just got in there. These parents pull up on New Haven Avenue and park their car just on the avenue where you're to drive, and then the kids run out and jump in the cars. I'm waiting for fire truck and ambulance. That's gonna be, it's worth talking disaster in my, that's just what we see. So, long story short, too many units, bring back the parking on Winchester Avenue, because in the middle of winter, all those spots are filled. I walk every day back there and they're filled. And there's no parking anywhere. I think that's it. Thank you.
Susan?
Yeah.
Susan.
Yeah. Thank you for your comments. And you know what? First-hand comments are really nice to have.
Well, thank you.
So, thank you for coming. Tim.
Tim Cruncher, Ventnor. I walked in
here. Swear to tell the truth tonight?
Yes, I do.
Thanks.
So I came in here tonight skeptical of the project. It's probably been no secret that I've been a little critical of the board and the variances that have been granted and the number that have been granted. But I have to tell you, I've changed my opinion somewhat, that I've been impressed, and I want to thank the board members for your thoughtful questions. I did not, to be honest with you, I did not expect that tonight. So you brought up very good points, and you have to excuse me if I twitch every now and then, because whenever it comes to redevelopment, I kind of have flashbacks. So you have to bear with me. But I want to thank the board for your consideration and thoughts, and with the people involved in the project, the quality of the people, I feel a lot better. There wasn't a public comment section on the agenda tonight, so I didn't know if you were going to take public comment, so I didn't really prepare questions. I may have some tomorrow when the governing body has a public hearing on the ordinance, but again, thanks for your consideration and thoughtful questions tonight and comments and input. I thought it was very valuable. And the other thing is, I would suggest that anybody that buys one of these units, that you have them sign a statement that they know that there's a firehouse on the corner and there's going to be sirens and flashing lights. Because I don't want you to have to live through the same thing that I did of people complaining that they're sand on my lawn when they have a beachfront property.
Sand on my lawn. Anyone else like to make comment before the board this evening? Lori.
Lori Schaefer, 410 North Dorset. I'm also the treasurer for the Ventnor Business Association. I actually just have a question.
Schaefer, you swear to tell the truth?
Yes, I do. Is there any way to guarantee that these will be occupied by year-round residents as opposed to just summertime or weekend people, or God forbid, we get Airbnbs buying these up?
Well,
Jack, come up to the mic, please.
There's no intention to use these for Airbnbs. I mean, we can't assure that they're going to be permanent residents because that's impossible, but there'll be a homeowners association and you won't be permitted to have an Airbnb.
Yeah, and that was going to be my answer. There's stuff you can do with Airbnbs to say they have to be year-round versus
it's
seasonal.
But look, I think, you know, I mean, with the good work that Ventnor's done, you do see, I live in Margate, and you see a lot more people, there's a lot more cars around now than there used to be, right? And it's because, you know, everybody's doing really quality development here, and that's, we want to kind of continue that trend. It'd be great, we'd love to have more permanent residents to answer your question.
Jack, are you considering ownership as a condo or a trust or a subdivision?
So it would be a subdivision. It would not be a condominium. It would be individual fee simple townhomes.
So you'd have an ownership or a trust, and it would be the association?
Correct.
Okay.
And there'd be rules and regulations.
Fine.
To the homeowners.
All right. Rory?
The only other thing I wanted to say is thank you, Mr. Waxman, for redeveloping the Ventnor Avenue School and putting commercial in there. We're all for commercial, but we also are for the community supporting the commercial properties. We have a lot of restaurants. They really struggle in the wintertime. So if we can get more year-round residents to support the restaurants, not only that we already have, but ones that may be moving in here, that would be wonderful. And also with the improvements that I know that code enforcement is trying to make to the business communities, I think, you know, what we're gearing towards is having Ventnor being a town that people like to even visit, like Stone Harbor. You just go there to shop and walk around. So I really appreciate that the city's moving into a direction where we're improving the business districts and helping the businesses succeed. But thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Rory. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to make comment?
Hello. So my name is Dennis Tuohy. I live on the border of Atlantic City and Ventnor. And full transparency, I live on the Atlantic City side, so you can discount everything I'm going to say. And I also...
Mr. Tuohy, I just got to get you sworn in.
Absolutely.
Do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give will be the truth?
I do. Further on the transparency, I do work with the lovely Jack Factor. So again, you can discount everything I say. But I figured as, although everyone in this room looks under 30, I think I'm the only one who is. And so growing up on the border of AC and Ventnor, played Ventnor Pirates, Ventnor Little League, Atlantic City Beach Patrol, much to Chief Bergman's disappointment. But I figured I'd do a disservice to not speak on behalf of myself and friends who've grown up in Ventnor. I know we all gawk at density and all those requirements, and rightly so, can be an eyesore. But when you talk about new builds and how I think it's depressing almost when we talk about new builds and, you know, we're all excited that it's a new build's under $1 million. It's a little bit, you know, comical considering, you know, the change that Ventnor's undergone throughout the past decade, two decades, which is a good change, positive, but, you know, going from working class to less so, and that's okay, that's what progress is sometimes. But just keep in mind, density is not always evil. It does sometimes lend itself to more affordable housing, so maybe not just writing it off immediately out of bat purely because that neighborhood will be more dense. And so that's really all. So appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay. Is that the swan song of the evening here, or are we have any more we can recruit? Any more people would like to speak? At this time, if there's no more, the public portion of this hearing is now closed.